plus Mordechai.
Good chair. I like this chair better than this chair. You know.
It's still a little high.
I'm lower it. Thanks. All right. Side. Okay. Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, gentlemen. We're continuing the Rambam Hilchas Shabbos Perek Yud Halacha Gimel, Chapter 10, Halacha Number 3, and that in the Mosnaim text is page 168 and 169. We've been dealing with the Halacha of Kosher of tying. And on Wednesday, we discussed all the differences, what's a tying that's Aser Doraisa, Derabbanan, the professional knot, if it's permanent, even just for 24 hours, and went through all the details of those kinds of knots. So we're going to continue to do another four halachas, and we'll finish the halachas of kosher. And then the next two halachas is matir, is the next one is unwinding, untying, as it were. So Halacha Gimel. The Halacha Gimel has given us a number of scenarios of situations where you're permitted to tie something, and the basic point is that it will not be a permanent knot. Although it possibly could be, and we think maybe it should not be allowed to be done, but all these cases, we look at them more so that it's most likely that it will be undone, and therefore it's not going to be any kind of a permanent tying. So these are all the cases of Halacha Gimel. Kesheres isha maftechei hechaluk afal pi sheyesh lo shnei psachim. A woman can tie up, sees when she would close up her garments, you'd be tying up, bringing a tie from one side of the garment, tying it to the other side, and then from the other side, tying it on the other side as well. So it's like tying it on both sides. Now, and even though there's two openings, as it were, the right side closing on the left, and then the light side kind of onto the right. And the fact of the matter is, if she wanted to, she'd kind of slip out of her gown without having to untie anything. That is the concern. Maybe this would happen, because she theoretically could do it, and then the tying that she did would be, for sure, more than 24 hours to be permanent. So like this, as all the other cases, he'll conclude and say, you're allowed to do it, because we assume that she is going to untie, because that's generally what's done, even though technically she wouldn't have to untie it, she could slip right out of it. And that's all the cases of these halachas. Similarly, v'chute svacha, and the strands of a hairnet, afal pi shehu rafui, even though it's loose, v'rosha, on the head. She makes a certain type of a hairnet, and when she makes it, again, she could technically slip it off, and would stay permanent, the knotting that she did. But again, the assumption is that she is going to loosen it, and that's why it will be okay. And so he says, afal pi shurafui, even though it is loose, right? Barosha on her head. So since it's loose, she could just take it off without untying it. She tied it up. She might not untie it. It could remain permanent. So we're not concerned about that. Uritsuas minol v'sandal shekarshnasa ala regal bishas malbush. Similarly, the straps of a shoe or the sandal that are tied on the feet at the time when they are being worn. That certainly it's not a professional knot, and certainly it shouldn't be left for a long time, but technically maybe the person could just slip off the shoe and might leave the strap together the way it was tied. We assume that's not going to happen. And again, a lot of these things are like from olden day kind of stuff that we have trouble relating to exactly. We don't do these things nowadays. But these are all the similar examples. Venodos yayin v'shemen afal v'sheyesh lo shnei osnayim. And these nodos, these are these flasks, these leather flasks of wine or oil, even though they have two openings. And again, you have to close them up and you tie them both up. And really, you could remove the oil and remove the wine with difficulty, even by opening up only one of the openings that you tied up. And theoretically, you can empty it out by leaving the other opening that you tied closed. So we're not going to say that, because we assume the guy's going to open up both ends so that it will pour out easier. Ukteir shel basar, and a plate of meat. Again, it seems that they had ways of covering up their plates of meats with knots in such a way to protect it. But when they want to remove food, again, the easier way would be just to untie it and you could remove the food. But if you wanted to without untying it, you could still kind of squeeze it out. So again, we're not worried about that. So he's saying, "Laf al pish yochol hotzi abasar v'lo sater akesha," even though he could remove the meat and not undo the knot. Next, the koshrin dli b'mishicha. Okay, now we mentioned already earlier that you can't tie a pail, a rope to a pail. Because most likely when you tie a rope to a pail, you're not going to untie it. And it's going to stay permanently. But here you're allowed to tie it b'mishicha. B'mishicha means it's a thin rope made out of flax. So since it's made out of that material, it's material that he's not going to want to leave it to the bucket. Oba'avnet, or he uses a belt to tie to the bucket. Certainly he's not going to leave his belt attached to the bucket. He needs to put it on his pants, right? So, you know, you have to be resourceful. You have to be a Boy Scout. So you don't have a way to lower the bucket, no problem. He takes his utility belt, right? And attaches the belt to the bucket, lowers it down. But for states, if you understand that he's going to untie that belt because he's going to use his belt. So again, highly likely he's not going to leave it to the bucket over there. But you can't tie it with a rope, because a rope talk, you would leave it. Similarly, similarly, when they would want to keep an animal back, they would, and from an opening, let's say you didn't have a door, so they would tie two ropes, one lower and one higher, and that would keep the animal from going outside. So, really, the truth is, if you wanted to, you could just so you can tie those two ropes. And although, if you want to get the cow out, you could get away with it by just untying the bottom rope, and you can kind of push the cow down, and he could squeeze out going under the top rope. So although that's a possibility, but we don't assume that's going to happen. We assume he's going to untie all the ropes. Okay. V'chevel shayakosher bapora, a rope that was connected to a cow. So now, on the one hand, by the bit or whatever, by the front over there. So now what are you allowed to do? Kosher b'avis. You can tie him now up to the food trough. And the reason is, because it's already tied to the cow. So what's the tying new? You're tying to the food trough. So we're pretty sure you're not going to keep the cow by the food trough for 24 hours. You're going to untie the knot by the food trough. Hayakosher b'avis. What if the knot was tied to the food trough? And now kosher b'par, then you could tie it to the cow. This time it's the reverse. Again, we'll assume that you'll be able to, we will remove that as well. But don't take a rope from your house and tie the cow and the food trough at the same, one after the other. Because what are we afraid of? You're going to maybe untie one, but not both. Here's a case where, you know, you might want to keep one tied up to the food trough. And next time the cow comes again, you only have to tie one knot. Or you might want to keep the cow, keep the knot tied to the cow. So you only have to tie one again. So that we don't do. Now, v'imhaya chevel gardi, if you're talking about a rope that is gardi, that's been weaved. So again, it's a one that you would normally be able to use. And the point he's going to say is that you're not making, it wasn't muktzah before Shabbos. Shumuta latatl, and you can carry it. So you could take it, you could tie up to the cow or to the trough. Why? Because these are knots that are not considered craftsman's knots, and they're also not permanent knots. Elopam kosher pa matir. One time you tie, one time you loosen. Therefore, initially you can tie them with that. Chosala shel tmarim. Now, not exactly totally related halacha. Chosala shel tmarim v'shel grogros. A basket that's made out of date palm leaves, and you're putting different dates or figs into the basket over there. So these are baskets that are not ripe, and you want them to get ripened. So matir umafkia v'chotech v'not halacha. You can untie them, you can break them off, and you cut them off and take the fruits out as you want. Okay.
Is, yeah. I have a question about the rationale of why you can't bring a rope from home to tie the cow in the feeding trough. Is it because we said the one might remain tied?
Right.
Okay.
That's by a regular rope, but by the gardi, we're not worried about that. Okay, Dalit. Kol sheroi lamachal behema. Any that's fit for animal consumption. Okay. Any that's fit for animal consumption that, where are we over here? And the issue here we're talking about, since it's fit for animal consumption, it's not going to be muktzah, one of any muktzah issues. So mutter likshar osa b'shabbos. You can use it to tie on Shabbos, because if it wasn't fit for animal consumption, you wouldn't be using it. Before Shabbos, you would have figured you don't need it. You don't need, you know, ropes to make knots and things like that. So something that wasn't muktza, therefore you may tie on Shabbos. Lefikach im nifsaka ritzua sandalo b'karmelis. Let's say the strap of your sandal breaks and you are in a karmelis. A karmelis is a place that is rabbinically prohibited to carry in. It's not a reshus hayochid. It's not a reshus harabim. So what do you do now to help the person over here? So no tel gemi, you can take a moist reed. That's something that would be fit to give to an animal. Lach, that's moist. Haroi lomachu behem, that's fit to feed for an animal. V'kairich elav, and now you can use that to tie around the sandal where it got broken. V'kosher agemi, and you tie it over there. And again, that's not going to be a permanent kind of tying. And the Gemara says that this leniency is only given in a karmelis. Why? Because we're afraid a karmelis is a place where people do walk there. And if a person's going to leave his shoe over there, he's going to lose his shoe. But if it would be a domain that was watched and guarded, that wouldn't be a problem, then you wouldn't be allowed to do this. Now, others have a different text in the Rambam, and they take out the word karmelis. And it would appear from that the Rambam would allow it even in a chotzer that would be maybe guarded, and gives a different reason. The Magen Avraham says because it's an embarrassment for a person to go without a shoe. It's a big, big embarrassment, and therefore for kavod abrius, to give honor to mankind, we allow this to happen. So since there's only a rabbinic prohibition of caring, so we waive the rabbinic prohibition to save the embarrassment of the person, and therefore he's allowed to tie it. Nishmetalo ritzuas mino vasanal. What if the strap slips off? So now you don't need to get another. It's not a broken one. It slipped off. So we just have to put it back on. Oshinishvat rova regal, or it falls off most of the foot. They wrap that thing around the foot, up the bottom part of the leg. So in that case, mutar lahachsiro haritzuos, you're allowed to return those straps back to their places, limkomam, ubavachlo yikshor. However, with the condition is that you do not tie it, because then if you tie it, there's a good chance it would be more of a permanent type of tying. Okay, next. Hey, haniva, a loop. A loop, muteris. You're allowed to tie with a loop. And for that matter, the Ramon says you can tie even a single knot with a loop above it, as we already taught you on Wednesday, provided you're not going to leave it permanently. And so he says, Lefisha, and why are we allowed to do it? Lefisha enam ischalev espekshir. People will not mistaken it with knots that are usher. We might have thought maybe the rabbis would decree since knots are not allowed, maybe a loop's not allowed, so it's not the same thing. Lefika chachevel shenim, so therefore a rope that breaks. Mekabich snake sosav, take the two ends together. Vekayr chalav mishicha, and wrap it around with a linen cord. Va'ayna vaniva, and then you can make a loop. Okay, vav. Mutar likshar kesher she'ena shel kayam udvar mitzvah. You're allowed to tie a knot that is not permanent for a dvar mitzvah. Okay, so here we're speaking where even if, because according to Rambam's opinion now, Rambam says if the knot is a ma'isa uman, if it's a professional knot, but it's not shel kayam, it's only usher drabonin. So if it's only usher drabonin, or for that matter, any situation where the tying is only usher drabonin, so lidvar mitzvah, it's allowed. For a mitzvah, again, in the place of a mitzvah, the rabbis don't make the decree over there. Kigon, for example, sheikshor limdod shiur mishura Torah. If a person needs the rope to measure a biblical measuring to perform a mitzvah. So they bring a Mishnah in Shabbos that says, in the days of Rav Tzadok's father and Abba Shaul, they tied a cup with a reed to determine whether a vat possessed an opening that was a handbreadth inside for a handbreadth in size for halachic issues. So in order to know the halacha, how to know the space and all that, you could do that. So you could use the rope for that. And we will give some practical examples shortly. Next, nimas kinor shenivsak. What about the string of a kinor or harp, those musical string instruments, shenivsak, that breaks. Okay, now you got to fix that up. So what are you going to do? So koshin also, you may tie it b'mikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash. Because why? Because the Levites, Levim, got to sing. And without the music, they can't sing. So that's a little dvar mitzvah. Okay, Avalo b'medina, but not in other parts of the country, because in the Beis HaMikdash we're much more careful, and therefore we can tie it up, because even the things that are help you to bring a korban is doch Shabbos as well. But v'lo yikshar nima lechatchila, but you shouldn't tie it to begin with. Let's say it broke on Erev Shabbos, because those things that are preparatory for the things in the Beis HaMikdash, if you could have done on Erev Shabbos, it's not doch Shabbos afilu b'mikdash, even in the Beis HaMikdash. So let's just look at a couple halachas. We did quite a few on Wednesday, and let's just go to a couple interesting cases, the mitzvah purposes, and that's what we just mentioned it now. So the situation that comes, again, things that are only rabbinically not allowed, like a non-professional knot, however, remain for 24 hours, but not indefinitely. So let's say, so this would apply only if a mitzvah couldn't be fulfilled without this type of knot. So the most common situation that is talked about is when you're rolling up a Sefer Torah in shul, especially at mincha time. Because at mincha time, which you're going to roll up, you're not going to be looking at the Sefer Torah earliest until Monday. So for sure it's going to be staying for 24 hours. So it's not going to be used for a few days. So certainly there should be a problem of, let's say, tying a double knot would certainly be a problem, right? That would be certainly a problem. And what about a single knot with a bow? Now, you know, I don't know if you remember in the old days, that's how they did it. The pre-Velcro days, the pre-clip days, when I was a kid, all they had was the thing went around, and then you had the rope.
Really?
Yeah, really. Ancient days. Ancient days. No, nobody wanted to get Galila. It was terrible. You had to start, and you didn't know where to start. You winded it all around, and then you had to take the rope, and the rope went away, and you always wound up doing it the wrong way. And everybody... But that's the way you, so it was a major problem in those days, because even a single knot with a bow is going to stay for 24 hours, it would seem that it would be prohibited. However, we're going to permit it for two reasons. First of all, the knot's necessary for the proper performance of binding the Sefer Torah, because this is, you have to do it. It's the mitzvah. How else are you going to be able to keep it done? Secondly, this is considered a case of necessity, and we already mentioned an opinion. There is an opinion that says permanent isn't until 7 days. For case of necessity, that's not 24 hours, an opinion 7 days. You need to rely on that, you can. So if the Sefer Torah stands to be remain unused for a longer period of 7 days, let's say it was used only for a Rosh Chodesh reading on Shabbos, and it's your Rosh Chodesh Sefer Torah, it's going to be more than 7 days, so the only basis for permitting it would be for the performance of the mitzvah. Okay? So the truth of the matter is, you should really, if you're stuck in that situation, it's better to kind of take the rope and try to stick it in between the rest of the gartel over there. Stick it in without tying it at all, if it will stay. But if that's not feasible, then you can tie a bow knot would be permitted. Yeah. But since we don't want to come onto these situations, we don't want to have to rely on the case that's being done for a mitzvah. Therefore, that we got all these new fangled items that we have with the Velcro and these other things, where it's b'chlam, not a problem.
Could you just make sure that you unattach it after Shabbos?
You can, but it's usually not the way. It's not the way that things are done. I mean, people just don't do that. You know, it's, you know, you see how quick everybody leaves Matzah Shabbos from shul, right? Right. I'm just saying. So, and it's quite likely people aren't going to do it. And it could be a problem. But you ready? You have the leniency. It's Lidvar Mitzvah, so it would help. But again, it would be better if you could just slip it around and just fit it over there.
But if we had the options we have today in those days, we probably wouldn't have this leniency. So therefore, should we not be allowed to rely on that leniency today?
Well, what if you don't have one right now?
I'm just saying the shul.
So that's what you endeavor to buy one. You endeavor to buy one. And Baruch Hashem, all the five Sefer Torahs we have them. Okay, what happens if you don't have one? What are you going to do?
We have in Israel. Sure. Like this.
I'm just saying, what do you... You make sure, Shelley, if everybody was as responsible as you, you wouldn't need half the halachas in the Rambam. Okay? You know, but the fact is, there are people who aren't careful. You know, we should have, could have, would have, and you left it up to the board to decide to do it, so it for sure never got done. Right? So that's what happens. So what are you going to do? So you got to say, oh, I told you to get the thing, I didn't get it. So what are you going to do? So now you have to deal with what you got.
So, I'm afraid not.
You're afraid not? Okay, good.
Wouldn't there also be leniency because it's not a masir?
But still, the knot, if it's more than a 24-hour knot, it's also drabanan. It's also drabanan. And and we already said that the knot with the bow would be also if it's more than 24 hours. So therefore, you can rely on the leniency. It's lidvar mitzvah. But better to try not to rely on that leniency. But I don't know. I'm trying to remember what they used in those days. You know, just a regular bow without even...
It was a bow.
I remember it was a blue bow.
I remember making bows all the time.
Yeah, okay. So you have to rely on it. If you have no other way, then you have to rely on it. Okay. Let's move on to halacha Zayin. We'll deal with kosher. And once we do kosher, we do the halachas to untying. Then we can relate to the halachas of untying it and see how far we can get with that.
Just a quick question.
Yes, sir.
The Velcro that applies to the Torah, does that Velcro apply to all other things on Shabbos as well?
Velcro is not a problem. Not a problem. As per your wife, Shiloh, I think on Wednesday, right?
But isn't the spirit of the law...
It's not the spirit. It has to do with tying separate things, a real tie. Velcro cannot be better than a loop.
Velcro's pretty cool.
It just comes right off. It just snaps right off. It's no kesher. It's no knot at all. Just it separates. You don't have to, you know, manipulate, just pull apart.
Hooks and
it's right. That's all. The fact that it happens to be connected, but there's no real shira. There's no knotting that it has any sense of permanence, any type of professional tying at all. A little kid can do it.
Zippers would be the same thing.
Zippers similar. Okay. Zion. Let's go ahead. Kol kasher. Are we only on the time? Okay, a couple more minutes. Kol kasher shechayavim al kishuro. Now you get the opposite. Any knot which you are chayav for tying. Okay, that you're chayiv for tying, al kishur for its tying, ka chayiv mal hatero, so you're chayiv to undo it. It's the same issue. As that's in the malachas of the Mishkan, the same thing. They would tie the fishermen's nets, and then they would untie the fishermen's nets in order to be able to retie them afterwards, to adjust the settings or whatever. So that's another malacha as well. And where Rambam was going to continue to say, that it works in the same way, to the same degree that you're chayev when you tie, that would be the same degree you'd be chayev for untying. The chol kesher shakosher also potur. So first start with chayev. First one was any kesher that your mom is chayev for the knot. So if you untie it, you're chayev. The chol kesher shakosher also potur, and any knot that you tie that would be potur, but potur avoloser meaning to rabbanon, and it's not allowed. Kacha mater also potter. Similar, the guy who undoes it would be potter avalosher as well. V'chol kasher shemuter lakashro, and any knot that you're totally permitted to tie, kach muter latiro, so you're permitted to untie it as well without any problem. Okay, but again, the whole idea is you're only chayiv when you unloosen that if it's on the condition that you're going to do it for subsequent tying, a tying that comes after that, obviously. Just stamosay not to do that, it lessens the severity of that. Because there has to be a purpose why you're untying it. Okay, ches, that'll be the last halach.
So yeah. If you come across shoes that have been tied up.
So we're going to talk, we'll look in the halachas. We'll see. There's a lot to talk about over there. How you can untie, and we'll probably do most of that tomorrow. But there's lots of halachas to look over there. Ches, hapoisel chavoli min hachutzim. Person winds different strands of different types of items. Hutzim are palm branches, chelef, different types of grasses, different strands of wool, different strands of flax, strands of goat's hair, or similar types of thing, and you wind them up. And you make them, and you take them and wind them up and make them into a piece like that. Areza toledas kosher v'chayiv. It's a toled, it's a derivative of kosher, and you are chayiv for that. Because you're putting the different strands together and tying them as it were, and they're going to remain in their place. So even though it's not the technical one where you're taking a separate one here, you're just tying it as a knot, but here you're winding them in a way that they now become one like that. So you're chayiv for that. Okay, the commentaries have a whole discussion over there. Why isn't it a derivative of spinning and other things? We're not going to get into that. Yeshua, and what's the amount? The shear is, if it's long enough, that wound up thing without having to make a knot, and the wound up thing remains as it is. If enough that it stands alone and doesn't unravel, then that's enough. And similarly, the opposite. If you undo what you wound up, that is a derivative of untying, and you're chayiv on that as well. But in all these cases, he cannot have in mind to damage a bavad alone, but rather it's going to be used for a purpose of fixing it up. And the amount to make you chayiv is the amount that it is when you're winding it up as well. Okay, that's enough. We'll do tomorrow. We'll go through the halachas of untying, and then we'll get all the practical halachas of tying and untying all wrapped up together. Tomorrow is what time? 8:15.
Look at your schedule, guys.
Okay, so we'll daven marav now. Yeah. Oh, Rabbi Chaim ben Kasher, Rabbi Tzvi Kasher, Baruch Hu Zakeh, so if he can hear the term, it's Shenemar. And then Chavetz Man, Tzidko Yagdol, Torah V'Yadir.